Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Today, we're going to be talking about discipleship. Discipleship means to be a follower, but it actually is a lot richer in its understanding of just being a follower. We're going to talk about that today. I think it's going to bless you tremendously. Now, during the course of the program, when the phone numbers come up, you find you can't get through straight away, write the number down and call again later on. We've been crashing the places that take all of the calls. There have been so many calls in recent times. We've been saying it in all the programs. So just write the number down. There are people there for many hours. There's a lot of them who will love to talk to you and to take your call. I think today's message is going to bless you. As I prepared this, it really challenged me as well. I'd invite you to join me for Pray for Someone You Love. In all of our lives, there are people in our lives who really need the power of God to change their circumstance. In many people's lives, there are things that only God can do in their life. It might be a husband, a wife, a friend, a parent, a brother or sister, a child, where we would like God to bless them and work in their lives. So, starting on November the 1st, we're going to spend one whole month praying for people, and praying for people specifically that we know. To help you, I'm going to send you a 5-minute video each day. We'll send you a audio that you could listen to that little talk each day that will inspire you, or you can join us to pray the rosary if you want to, and we're going to explain what that is. You can choose to do all three. You could just decide, I'm just going to do one. In addition to that, I'm going to send you my free book, Pray for Someone You Love, which will help us go through the whole month of November praying every day. If this is anything like other times, we're going to see God work powerfully in people's lives. Now, you can go to our website, it's the best place to go, and you can sign up right now, and then we'll send you the book for free. Or you can call this number right now, and people there will take your name and address down, and then we will send you the book as well. This is going to be a marvelous time. Don't miss it. Join me for Pray for Someone You Love. I want to talk today about discipleship, being a disciple. What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is someone that wants to be like the person that's coaching them, that's leading them. But in the Christian sense, a disciple is something even more. A disciple is to become like, not just to learn, to become like. And I think for many Catholics, for many Christians, we fall into the trap of learning about, and many of us don't learn so much about becoming like. And I want to talk about that today. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. And it says this. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Again, let's read it again. Verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? I read that, and because if you go on, we know that Peter makes his declaration of who Jesus is. And we know he goes on and says, this is who I think you are. But that question could be asked of us, couldn't it? I met someone the other day who has no faith whatsoever. And they were kind of fascinated by the whole religious thing. And they asked the question, well, what is it all about? In other words, tell us who this Jesus is all about. Can I ask you, how would you answer that question? How would you answer the question who Jesus is? What would your answer be? What would you say? Would you turn around and say, well, all my life I was born into it? I was born into church. I've never really had to answer that question. I'm someone who's gone every week. My parents passed faith on to me. Is it an intellectual understanding of it? Is it an emotional understanding of it? Who would you say Jesus is? if Jesus appeared to us, Jesus could ask us that question and he could say to us, who do you say that I am? And we would have to ask the question as a Christian community, as a local community, as a Catholic guy community, we would have to ask the question, how do we answer that question, who is Jesus? See, the interesting thing is, as much as it's a communal question, it's actually very much an individual question. It's an individual question. And I'm going to share with you some people who I have asked that question of or listened to and what some of and how they've answered that. Some people, if they were asked the question, they would say, well, Jesus is God. If Jesus had said that to you, you'd go, well, of course, you're God. Other people might say, you made everything, you know everything, you're everywhere, because, well, you're Jesus. There would be others who would say, well, you were a person and you lived 2,000 years ago and you caused a whole pile of trouble at the time, but you were such a revolutionary that people started joining you, and those people who joined you have remained, and that kind of belief system that you had around you, well, it's been going forever. And there's a lot of people that have followed you. There would be some who would say, well, you're the second person, Jesus, in the Trinity. You're the second person in the Trinity. Other people might answer that question and say, well, you're my friend. Other people would say, you're my friend. I know for me, when I was first introduced to the whole idea of knowing Jesus, I remember the Catholic priest who introduced Jesus to me said to me, well, you can know him as your friend. You can know him as your Lord. You can know him as someone that is personal to you. Some people, if Jesus turned up and said, who am I? They would answer the question and they would say, well, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. And that's all good language, but for many people, they're not sure how they'd answer it. I once had a university lecturer, a very smart fellow, who obviously had a relationship with God, but you would never have known it because he knew the topic and he knew about God and he knew about religion. But sometimes you wondered if he knew about God. I was at Mass on Sunday. And I was in a parish, and there was a very, very elderly priest. And he said Mass so fast, it was like he was so quick that you actually wondered whether he actually had to be somewhere else. It kind of felt like you were at the races. But when he got to the sermon, when he got to the talking part, he slowed right down and he told stories. And what became very evident by the way he shared was that this whole idea of who God was not something that was out there, but something that was in here. That's something that was personal to him. But some of his outward expressions were such that he went through the motions very, very quickly. How would you answer that question if Jesus appeared up right now and you had to come out the front and stand at the microphone of a hall somewhere and the question was, who is Jesus? How would you answer that question? See, for many of us, we'd answer that question based on the church we're from, because we're a product of the church we come from, if we're honest. A church is the gathering of God's people. They come around a belief and a leadership. And there are many different types of Christian churches. The Catholic Church, where I'm from, is one. And it might be the largest one, but it's one. And there are many types of Christian churches out there. And people might answer that question, who is Jesus, based on that question of what their community was. And even more specifically, I found in the Catholic world that Christians answer that question based on the Christian community that they belong to, that they spend their time with, whether that be a parish or whether that be some association of people that have got together, some group that have got together, that they answer that question in different ways. But so people answer it in different ways. I was recently at a church, a very quiet church, a church where no one said anything, that was silent, and the prayers that were said were the kind of prayers where they were set prayers. Everybody knew what the answers to the prayers were. And the pastor priest spoke quietly, intelligently, and it was very clear that in this church, faith was private, was very private to those people. I was then in another church where people laughed. As the church service went through, they cried. The music was loud. The priest pastor up the front spoke with a tremendous passion. Faith was kind of out there. Faith was kind of, come on, everybody. You can. Faith was not private, but in this instant, faith was public. Now, if you met my father before he died, my dad was a very private man. And if my dad had the chance to choose a parish or to go along to, church to go along to, he'd choose a very quiet one. And then he would even look at which church service was on the weekend, and he would choose the quietest of all of them because he was a very private fellow. I know others, you know, would go to somewhere that was a little bit more maybe boisterous, loud. And so how different people would answer the question of who is Jesus is going to be based upon the community, the people that you've hung out with, because they're going to answer that question in different ways. And the interesting thing is neither of them are going to answer it wrong. They're just going to answer it differently. But it's sometimes in our life when we come along and we stop and we say, well, my way's the way. My answer to the question is the right answer. That sometimes we deny other people's revelation, other people's experience, other people's ability and knowledge of God. Years ago, I used to run a group with a lot of young people in it. And at the meetings that we would hold, the times of prayer that we would hold, when we would sing, it was loud and it was jumping and it was fun. And then we would have mass, and it was quiet and it was still and it was joy-filled. And it was different. And different people would answer the questions about who Jesus was. And if we look at the life of Jesus and we ask the question about Jesus, we see some very important things, because Jesus came along and he displayed to us a kind of discipleship. Now, remember what discipleship is. Discipleship is being a disciple of someone else. And discipleship at its core means not just to follow, which in the scripture language means to obey, but it has this other concept which means to become like. To become like. It's just not to turn up and listen to. It's to become like. A disciple is trying to become like. And what we read in the life of Jesus is Jesus consistently had three kinds of relationships in his life that were affected by his relationship with the Father. And one of those was he had this relationship with his Father where he would go away, he would look for times of intense prayer, where he would go look away from the crowds that would chase him. He would consistently go away and find time. Where I am right now in my life, and what I'm doing right now is I'm at a very, very extraordinarily busy time in my life. I have a lot on, and I'm traveling heavily, and I'm in different places and speaking in different places, and life's busy. And I find each day that I go to bed tired at night, I get up in the morning feeling a bit tired. And you know the one thing that I want to compromise on each day? The one thing that I want to stop and say, I don't have to do it because I did it yesterday, is my time with the Father. Is the one thing I want to do is that temptation is something's got to give. We'll give up on the prayer. I'll give up on the relationship with God. I'll give up on that. And anybody who's been in a relationship knows this, that if you take away time consistently from a relationship and replace it with something else, and often this thing called busyness, in the end, it has a destructive effect upon us. There are many people who are married, and all of us who are married know this temptation. When you're young and it's early in your marriage, you spend time together, it's vibrant and it's alive. And then children come along, and then you have to get serious about career and then things you want to contribute to society and to the community, and things that interest you come along. And what can happen is that time that you had as a couple, slowly gets invaded away to where it gets less and less. And you do less. To the point where many married couples, and some of you would be like this, many married couples end up being married in name, but they're not really married in terms of that vibrancy of life and intimacy that there's meant to be within their marriages. It works the same among friends even to a degree. But marriage, it most certainly works in if you're not careful. And the antidote to it, the antidote to dryness, the antidote to disaffection in our relationship is simple. It is to spend time. And we can stop and say, but I'm so busy. So busy doing things that aren't important. But to find time for God means you've got to take away time from something else. It might mean that each day you've got to say, I'm going to wake a little bit early, take some time from sleep. It might mean that you don't watch quite as much television. It might mean that you rearrange the circumstances of your life in order that you pray. Now, in the Catholic Guy communities, those who come along to the Catholic Guy activities and watch us, whether it's online, on television, who attend our events or attend our communities, we say to everybody, it's important to spend 15 minutes a day praying, not lying down, you know, not in front of the TV, but a devoted time of relationship with Jesus every day. Why? Because I was raised with a Catholic priest in my life when I was a lot younger who used to say to me all the time, did you spend your 15 minutes of prayer a day? Did you talk to God every day? If you're not talking to God every day, if you don't do it consistently all of the time, what happens is your relationship with him will deplete. And it won't take very much to replace him with the busyness of life and circumstances and increased responsibility in your work. And I want to say this to you, the busier you are in life, the more responsibility you have in life, the more you have dreams for your life, the more you have plans for your life, the more important does this daily time of prayer with God become. That it's not optional. That it's not optional. That the more responsibility that you have, the more need you are of being in the face of the Father. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus took off all of the time. If you read Mark chapter 1, great story. Jesus does all of these miracles. He does all of this stuff. He just sets alight a community of people with his preaching and with the healing and his presence. And then what does it say? Early in the morning, before everybody was up, he's gone. Where's he gone? He's gone off somewhere to pray. Because he didn't for a moment forget that he was connected to a God in heaven who's calling every one of us home. And right now, as you listen to me, there are some of you who need to repent. Now, what does repent mean? Repent doesn't mean to feel bad necessarily. Repent means to change and go in a different direction. There are some of you who are in the habit of going to church once a week and from one Sunday to the next Sunday, not talking to God at all. And I want to say to you that what's going to church on Sunday is so important, to be in touch with that community of people and with what God's presence there. I want to say to you, you're living life so much less and you would achieve so much more and you would be so much more at peace if you made the discipline every day of I'm going to spend time with the Father like Jesus spent time with the Father. If you want to be a disciple, you need to spend time with God. It doesn't appear to be all that optional. The second thing we see about Jesus' life when it came to discipleship and when it came to him being the person that God called him to be, he was God himself, but Jesus in the ministry he had, was Jesus had relationships that mattered, relationships that were important. And you could say, had a hierarchy of relationships. There were four sorts of relationships he had. The first kind of relationship he had was with Peter, James, and John. He seemed to have these three people that were close to him, that were kind of his inner circle, his leadership group, that he talked with, shared with, spent time with, asked to come with him in the most difficult of times. He took them to the Transfiguration when on top of the mountain, when he's transfigured in all his glory and they saw him for who he was. He took them with him to Gethsemane when he was betrayed. Jesus knew that to be a disciple, you needed people in your life that know you. And as I heard one church once put it, every one of us needs someone to love us, to be loved, and for us to love, for someone to serve us and for us to be able to serve someone, for someone to celebrate us and for us to be able to celebrate others. That's what relationship's about. The next group of people that Jesus had in his life were these apostles, 12 apostles, these 12 leaders who would be these 12 leaders that he would take, and he would spend an enormous amount of time. And the three, Peter, James and John, were part of the 12. He had this 12 that he developed and spent time with and built up and built up and built up. That was something special about that group of people. And then what else did he have? He had what were called disciples. Some people, some places it lists 120, 500, but disciples were people that followed with him in a bigger group, and he taught them. And then after that, there was the masses. Jesus had a hierarchy of relationships in his life. Can I say this to you? As a disciple, a follower of Jesus, who knows you? Who truly knows you? Who truly, truly knows you? Knows your dreams, your hopes, knows your weaknesses, even knows your sin. Those things, those actions, that speech that depletes you and makes you less than who you could be. Who is that? Who are those people in your life? Who are those people in your life? Do you have a larger group of people that you're on mission with, like the 12 apostles? We're going to build this. We're going to create this. We're going to proclaim the gospel in this. We're going to achieve this. We're going to be this kind of person. Do you have that kind of group in your life? Do you? Yeah. And that's the value of what I encourage so many of us, is to have a small group in our life, a small group of people that we can sit knee to knee with on a regular basis, who know us, love us, care for us, and together we can do stuff together from time to time. From time to time. Can I ask you, who knows what you're going through today? What you're experiencing today? Who? The third thing we learn about Jesus and discipleship is a very interesting thing, is this whole idea of relationship with the world. This relationship with the needs of our world. Gee, we're living in a crazy world right now. Look at the politics in different countries right now. Look at the divisions that leaders in many countries are causing. Look at the divisions in thoughts about why societies are meant to be run. We need only open our newspapers, look at the internet, watch the news, and we would see the violence in our world. And we don't seem to be able to find a solution to that because there are so many people who have different solutions.
Go to BruceDownsTheCatholicGuide.com for the rest of this episode and so much more.
I'd invite you to join me for Pray for Someone You Love. In all of our lives, there are people in our lives who really need the power of God to change their circumstance. In many people's lives, there are things that only God can do in their life. It might be a husband, a wife, a friend, a parent, a brother or sister, a child, where we would like God to bless them and work in their lives. So, starting on November the 1st, we're going to spend one whole month praying for people, and praying for people specifically that we know. To help you, I'm going to send you a 5-minute video each day. We'll send you a audio that you could listen to that little talk each day that will inspire you. Or you can join us to pray the rosary if you want to. And we're going to explain what that is. You can choose to do all three. You could just decide, I'm just going to do one. In addition to that, I'm going to send you my free book, Pray for Someone You Love, which will help us go through the whole month of November praying every day. If this is anything like other times, we're going to see God work powerfully in people's lives. Now, you can go to our website. It's the best place to go, and you can sign up right now, and then we'll send you the book for free. Or you can call this number right now, and people there will take your name and address down, and then we will send you the book as well. This is going to be a marvelous time. Don't miss it. Join me for Pray for Someone You Love. Well, the Bible tells us that when we have needs, that we should gather our friends and we should ask them to pray for us and ask God to bless us. Well, why don't you write to me on the addresses on the screen, and I and my prayer team will pray for you. And I know that when we pray, that God really does hear our prayers. Now, if you didn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go right at the moment, and you'd know the reason for that, I want you to know this. God is calling you into a relationship with Him. He's calling you to be a disciple, which is all about following, but it's also about becoming like. And it's an amazing way how we can be transformed. Now, if you didn't get through on the telephones today, just hang on, write the number down. You'll be able to in a little while. Well, we're also very pleased to say that we have started a daily television program, Monday to Friday, that you can watch each day. It's a little bit different to this, but it's got elements of it as well, and we're really pleased. If you're in the United States, the times are on the screens, or you can go to our website where you can watch the program every day at thecatholicguy.com. Well, that's it. We'll see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.